The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. There's a mass exodus that is occurring, switch the background, that's occurring in America, of police officers, good men and women, primarily good men and women. I would argue that most police officers are good men and women who serve. They are exiting, leaving police departments all over the country, leaving the citizens in the city unpatrolled in many capacities. I just want to talk about the New York Police Department. Some 3,700 New York police officers have quit or retired last year alone. This has not been seen in New York since 2002. That was about 20 years ago, 20 plus, 21 years ago, if my math is right. 3,700 people either quit or retired last year. It says the department needs at least 1,200 new recruits to reach its budgeted headcount of 2,500 new recruits if the force wants to get back to the 2019 staffing levels, according to data posted by the PBA last month. Instead, the department has only gotten 543 recruits. In 2002, 3,800 NYPD members left or quit the force, which eclipsed last year figures, according to what the documents say. Now, why is this a problem? Why do you need to talk about this, Brandon? Why is it? What is the residual effect of police officers leaving a police department en masse and then not being able to recruit police officers to fill those gaps? Ladies and gentlemen, for a society to function in a safe and cordial, sane manner, you need police officers. You need law enforcement. And when you are looking at a city that's been decimated with thousands of police officers leaving, thousands of police officers understaffed, here is what happens. When someone rapes you or your children, you are not going to get an adequate investigation in a timely fashion because there's not enough detectives. If you are in patrol, somebody robs you at gunpoint, on your way home, leaving the supermarket. Cops may not even show up for 30 minutes. Investigations are not going to be completed. Investigations are not going to be able to be done with due diligence if you don't have adequate amount of police officers. Criminals become emboldened. That means that they know cops ain't out there. They ain't seen a cop in a month. Normally, they'll see at least one or two of them. They know they haven't seen cops in a month. They know the department is decimated. They know they're quitting by the tens of thousands. They know that the mainstream media is demonizing law enforcement. And therefore, law enforcement, the ones who are there, are going to back off. There will be no proactive policing. Mr. Tatum, what is proactive policing? That means that Johnny has a felony warrant after his arrest for domestic violence. If police officers are proactively policing, that means Johnny walking down the street, cops may get out and conduct a consensual contact. That means you jump out and you say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? You have ID on you? Things like that. Or they're taking traffic violations seriously, meaning they're out, making sure people are following the law on the traffic side, and therefore cars that are doing wide turns, that are speeding, that are breaking the law, registration is out, all of those above things, police officers are able to police that, which will lead them to proactively policing and catching people like Lil Johnny or whatever the guy name I made up. That's what proactive policing is. I remember when I was doing a night shift, and this is when all the drama happened, ladies and gentlemen. The same people normally are either in their house or asleep by midnight. So everything after midnight is fair game. I remember I caught a guy. He was wanted for a home invasion with like $500,000 arrest warrant. And I had never seen a number that big in my life. $500,000 arrest warrant. How did I catch this guy? He's just lording out in front of CVS. And because I didn't have calls for service at the time, I said, I'm going to stop by and make a contact with this person. I just got by, get out the car. Hey, man, what's your name? Now, he's not detained, so he don't really have to talk to me if he don't want to. He can just walk away. But most people don't understand that, so they talk to you. And I say, hey, do you have identification on you? He gives me his ID. I run his name. He has a felony warrant. I don't catch that guy if I'm not proactively policing. If I'm saying, hey, I'm going to sit in the corner somewhere, sit at the stub station until somebody calls us for service. That's not the way you want your community policed. The people out here that you see on the Ring doorbell alerts that are stealing packages and stuff, you'll never catch these people if there's not an adequate amount of police officers. So therefore, steal as much as you can is what criminals are led to believe. I'm not telling you to go steal. Somebody going to call in and say, Officer Tatum's show says go steal everything you can. What I'm saying is that the criminals are under the impression that they can steal whatever and there's not enough police officers to investigate. And then that's just the inadequacy of a lack of staffing and also cops pulling back and not being proactive. Now, the other side of it is that you got to recruit somebody. But then when you're out on the recruiting trail, you have no options, right? Y'all want people who are well-trained. You want people who are intelligent, people that have decorum, people that take pride in their craft. You want all of those things. Well, those people aren't applying. They don't want nothing to do with putting their good reputation on the line just for you to smear them in case they get into a confrontation with a black person that Al Sharpton them deem is a money grab. So they don't show up to the application. I wouldn't. Now, the people who do are potentially, not all, but are people who have been rejected before, who are not eligible to be cops, who would have never made it on a police department, not all, but some. But because they don't have staffing, the city is going to crap. They have to budget the money to pay for more officers. They will lower the standards. Therefore, a person, like when I came on the police department, you had to make a 70 or a 75 or above on your entry level exam, which you can't study for. You just have to either have the knowledge or you don't have the knowledge. So you got to make at least a 75. I think at one point when we were struggling to get officers, they dropped it down to like a 30. Like a 50 or 30%. You got to be dumb to get a 30%. You have no business. You need to go back to school. You don't have nothing to do with no policing to make a 30% on that test. Most of it is common sense. The memorization is the part that's a little difficult on a test, because if you haven't been practicing it and it's the first time you've seen it and you don't know it's coming, it'll be very difficult for you if you have not been exposed to it, right? They give you these pictures of people underneath their faces. They have a description of who they are, where they're from and stuff. And then you turn the page and then you have to regurgitate or memorize and then bring back to your memory what you just read on the last page. And if you haven't practiced any of that and you didn't see it coming, you're probably not going to do as well. Some people have an innate ability to recall or recount things that they've previously read or visually saw. And so that's something you can't test for. And then they have physical standards, PT standards for police officers. That means that you need to do this many push-ups. You have to go a mile and a half at this speed, all of the above. Now, when you can't get officers, you have to say, hey, Johnny, that could not run a mile and a half and couldn't do the push-ups, well, we got to lower that standard. Now he in. Now he's a part of the police department. You know, we used to have Red Man, which means you had to learn how to fight for 3 minutes straight. and teach you how to fight, teach you that you're not out of the race, teach you that you don't need to pull your gun and kill somebody because you still got some fight in you. Now, if it's necessary, you got to do what you got to do. But outside of that, there's things that you train for. But now it's so woke and soft and people getting hurt and they don't have enough people that you don't even fight anymore. Your real fight is in the street when the thug punch you in the face, and now you're going straight to the gun because you have never been hit in the face before. You don't think you can make it through an actual hand-to-hand combat. So with that being said, these are the fallouts that occur when you defund the police, when you demoralize all police officers for the actions of some. No police officer that I have ever heard of defended Chauvin against George Floyd. All of them said Chauvin was wrong, and I bet some of them say Chauvin was wrong and George Floyd overdosed. So officers in the five Memphis police officers, no officer I know said that they were right and that they didn't do things that were contrary to what the spirit of policing. None of them have said that. That tells you that most police officers are reasonable. There's only a few that are bad. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in a store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $49.99 with promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter code Brandon or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Brandon. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Have you ever went to the store and you had this great moment of clarity where you're in the store and you said, I'm tired of buying these cheap towels. I'm going to go for the expensive ones. And you go for them expensive towels. You get it. You take it home. You take a shower. You try to dry off, and it does nothing for you. And you cuss, and then you have to repent and say, God, forgive me for those words I just said. But I'm upset because I bought a towel that don't dry anything. Well, look no further. You don't have to experience that anymore. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and get you a six-piece towel set. The six-piece towel set, cotton made right here in the United States of America. And it's the beauty of the MyPillow towels are that they're soft and absorbent. You got to have both of them. You can't just have something that absorb and then it feel like sandpaper. And you can't have something that feel like cotton or you can say feathers, but then it's just mushing water around on you. So go to MyPillow.com, put in discount code Brandon, you'll get the six-piece towel set for $49.99. You do not want to miss this opportunity. You must be crazy to go buy towels anywhere else but MyPillow. All right, let me get back to the subject at hand. If you're going to defund, demoralize, dehumanize police officers, there's going to be a ripple effect that you're not going to be ready for. And I'm speaking to the city council. I'm speaking to the people who are actively attempting to defund police. You don't need to defund the police to make the police to improve policing. This is completely stupid. What logic do they use that in any other arena? A company is failing, defund the company. So they can really crash now because they don't have money for training. They don't have money to recruit. They don't have money to innovate. They don't have money to pursue education. Okay, your local middle school is failing. Let's defund it because we don't like the way two teachers were talking to their students last year. That is asinine. You fire the teachers and you do whatever it takes to make sure the school continues in a reasonable fashion. It's the same subject matter when it comes to law enforcement. 99% of the police officers on most police departments are just at work doing the best they can with what they have. I would be upset with police officers if they weren't humans. They're humans, ladies and gentlemen. They get teed off sometimes. They may swing on somebody that they shouldn't. They're human beings. So you understand that there's human error. So how about we protect our officers by making sure they got the proper counseling they need? Because some of them got PTSD running around, but nobody cares because you're not in the military. PTSD in the military is a real thing. Everybody believes you. You get a dog. Nonprofits will give you a service dog. It seems like with police officers, and I'm not saying it's the case 100% of the time, it seems like with police officers from my vantage point, that nobody talks about PTSD that police officers get exposed to. And I would argue that police officers have more PTSD than people in the military, unless you're in a combat zone. I'm talking about on average. Because most people in the military, you know, they ain't deploying to any combat zone. We ain't been in a world war in a long time. So not everybody is fighting for their life. Some of them sitting behind a computer somewhere collecting a check. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying you ain't got PTSD. Police officers, well, I think it depends on the city. But in most major cities, police officers, probably 60% of them have a form of PTSD. The stuff that we see as police officers, and I was in Tucson. I saw people beheaded. I seen people commit suicide. Guy was hanging from a belt in his closet. I mean, walking in on something like that as a human is troubling. Seeing dead children is troubling. Seeing body parts all bent up in a traffic accident. Somebody hit a pole at 80 miles per hour going down Oracle southbound. And then if you live in the city that you patrol, let me just put this out there for people who are in the back smoking crack with Hunter Biden. You know how you have a trauma and then you go revisit that trauma every day and it makes it worse? If you have PTSD and your trigger, and I don't like to use that word, but it's a legitimate word, your trigger, you just keep triggering yourself. When you're a police officer and you patrol a certain city, the street corner at Grant and Oracle don't look the same to you as it does to the average person. Miracle Mile and Florin Wells are not the same as it would be if you're a regular person. You know, Craycroft and Grant. You know, I can go down the list of all the streets that stained into my memory. Tucson House is different for different people if you're not a police officer. Like I said, Limberlost and Oracle, right there in front of the Chick-fil-A. Every time I drive by that location, I remember that kid that hit that pole at 80 miles per hour. I remember the kid that didn't make it, and I remember the two kids that made it. One lost her legs, and the other one, nothing, because he was drunk. And it's just something about drunk people, they never get hurt. Grant in the 10, coming northbound, getting off going east. Never forget that spot. Drunk driver come through there, plow through a man who was a security officer. I remember looking at his wallet and seeing his family in that wallet at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I knew that he was never going to see them again. I knew they'd never see their dad again. They don't know. They sleep. They thinking daddy at work. Daddy dead on the side of the road in a body bag where we put a sheet over him. Because some lunatic wanted to go drink and have fun with his friends. And he ended up getting charged with second degree murder. Grant and the I-10 never is the same for me. The I-19 and Valencia, never the same. Guy gets knocked off the motorcycle, run over by multiple cars. It was a bad day. But people don't talk about PTSD from police officers. And I'm just talking about the horrific stuff. I'm not talking about the toll that it takes on you dealing with people having the worst day of their life every day. I'm just talking about the major stuff you see. The toll it takes on you? The toll that it takes on you as a police officer? I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was a cop, I had thoughts. I had very dark thoughts when I was a police officer. I remember that day that I was sitting in my own closet and contemplating. Even me. Just imagine all the other officers out there. And I feel like I was a patrol officer when things weren't as bad. Now, you can't look at a black man wrong. If you were a cop and you're driving down the street and you look at a black man and he fall off the curb, you're going to go to prison. You're a white supremacist. The white man caused you to fall off the curb. It's systemic racism. The oppression of black and brown bodies. because you looked at a black man who fell off a curb with a crack pipe in his hand. Come on, man. Like, it's got to be stressful being a cop. But we better start talking about these things, because if we do not address these issues, our country is going to crash and burn. Communities that once used to be safe will be safe no more. Trust me, your property value going down, baby, if we don't address these issues. Hold the phone. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you really enjoy listening to me and you want to watch and listen at the same time, I didn't leave my music on. I was in the halftime show. If you hope y'all to hear them Guns N' Roses in the background. Anyway, if you want to watch me and listen at the same time, there's an option out there. I don't know if you know that. All you have to do, and you can do it now, even if I won't say in your car because I don't want you to crash and listen to me. But if you are in a safe place to listen to something and watch it at the same time, you can go to SalemNewsChannel.com, SalemNewsChannel.com, or you can download the app. Go to Salem News Channel on the App Store, whether it's Android or iPhone. You can download the app and watch me, at least my first hour, on the Salem News Channel. Also, if you got Roku, just put it in the search engine. You will see me in the flesh, almost. Not really, but you'll see me on the TV. All right? Now, let's get in. Let me finish that thought, and then I got some clips to play. I think it's significant that we continue to grow support for law enforcement officers. I was thinking about doing something the other day. I work with this company that they make these patches for you, for hats, and they make custom patches for us all the time, and we sell out of those things. But I had one idea that I was like, I want to make one for police, because in the middle of all the hate towards cops, we really need support and love for police officers. And I'll say that, my thought process was that we'll make a design and then proceeds will go to a police foundation that helps police officers with the PTSD and things that I'm talking about. And if I do that, I'll let you guys know. You can check it out on my social media at The Officer Tatum on social media. But I really want to do something to like counterbalance this assault against police officers. It's just really funny because it bothers me that people who have never put on a badge criticize police officers. It like bothers me sometimes, because some people don't even have adequate arguments. Some people have reasonable questions, but they don't have adequate arguments. Let me just explain that. Some people may say, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do this? Or would it be possible if they could have done this? Could they have done this? That's more reasonable. Some people say they should have done this. They didn't do that. They bad. They trash. They should have shot his foot off. They should have shot his toe off. They should have shot his toenail off. It's not reasonable. And if you don't know what you're talking about, if you never put on a badge, then understand how unreasonable you could be and taper back on your arguments. Now, you live in America, you say whatever you want to say. But I'm just expressing that you sound like a complete idiot if you're talking about police matters and you don't know anything about policing. You've never been in a ride along. You don't know nobody that's a police officer. You never studied the law. You have no idea what's going on. Just don't make a fool out of yourself. I'm just throwing it out there. It's free. It ain't gonna cost you nothing. Let me play this clip from a person named, I don't even know how to say their name. Is it Eddie Gloudy? Or Gloud? I could be saying it wrong. I'm going to play a clip from this person because I feel like what this person's theology is counter to what I believe. And also, I want to debunk the theology that this man is going to spew. Roll clip one.
It's dealing with movements and debates. It makes no sense to me that Black Lives Matter has now been reduced to a project that the students can voluntarily investigate, when Black Lives Matter is perhaps the most significant modern movement that we've experienced here. So it seems that that should be something a little bit more direct. The stuff around Black queer theory, what they've done is that they've moved it throughout the syllabus or the course, and they're using primary source material. They could be a little bit more direct, I think, in this regard. But like Professor Dyson said, if we were not dealing with this against the backdrop of Stay Woke Acts, the backdrop of critiques of critical race theory, we could actually get at the content of the course. But instead, what we're dealing with is this fear of this historiographical displacement that's driving the terror and panic.
The New York Post cover this morning. It's mine.
Now, I think maybe it's Gloud. Maybe it's Gloud. Maybe it's Eddie Gloud. I could be saying his name wrong. But see, this is what I was saying yesterday on the show. You know, I had a black guy call in and he just literally embarrassed himself because he called in and said, "You always talk about black people, man. When a white woman date a black man, the white people, they call her trash." And I said, "Okay, sir. Okay, okay. I don't know. I'm not in the white circles when I hear them bash white women for dating black men, but it could happen." I said, "Well, what do black people say when a black man is with a white woman?" And I could hear a pin drop. I could hear a rat fart. I actually heard a rat fart in the corner when he was doing that. It went completely silent. And then he go, "Can you repeat the question?" Like, repeat the question. You started the whole question. What do you mean, repeat the question? So, but I gotta cut because I gotta go to break. So I will finish that conversation here in a second. But I need to tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, if you're looking for a supplement that I endorse and I talk about on my show every single day, if y'all listen to me any hour, I'm going to support and advocate for Relief Factor. And the reason that I do, because it's an incredible company, I'm very thankful that they're willing to support the show, and it works. It's really that simple. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I was shocked that it works. I don't really do pills and stuff because I feel like that's placebo. But I actually started taking Relief Factor, and I'm like, dang, this stuff really works. Like, I really feel better. And so many people have given such an incredible testimony. People that I know personally have given testimony of what Relief Factor has done for them. So I say give it a try. $19.95 for 3 weeks of Relief Factor. $19.95 is a special deal. You get the 3-week starter, and you try it, you take it, you order more. It's very simple. Go to relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
Act like you know.
Ladies and gentlemen and ladies, you better recognize you're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to tell you guys about the new movie Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. And we all know that Disney is literally losing their minds. I don't understand why they want to push pedophilia on children. And this is just my opinion based on some of the things that I've seen them do. But Stevie Wonder can see that they're pushing the gay and transgender propaganda. And in the movie Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, you will see how Disney executives are purposely exposing your children to the LGBTQ agenda in their films and also in their theme parks. They're trying to seize the minds of your children as early as possible to encourage them to question and reconsider their sexuality. Grooming your kids with the gay and transgender messaging and producing one Catholic movie or anti-Catholic movie one after another. See the proof for yourself and watch Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, presented by the Catholic League, available for free right now on salemnow.com. Now, the Disney theme parks have stopped using gendered greetings. Lord help them. Disney's condemned the Florida bill that bars teaching young students about sexuality and gender identity in K through third. It sparked controversy amongst Disney employees, and Disney has been denounced by the Catholic League altogether. You'll hear from Brent Bozell, founder of the Media Research Center, Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, plus David Horowitz, Dr. Ben Carson, and now in New York Post's Miranda Devine, hosted by Mercedes Slapp, and Will Witt and more. Watch Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom for free. Just go to salemnow.com, salemnow.com. Portions of the Officer Tatum Show are brought to you in part by Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom and Salem News or Salem Now. All right, one day I'll get it right. Now, I want to just wrap up what I was saying about that guy, Eddie Gloud, I think his name maybe. You know, the gentleman was on the show, you know, telling me, "You always talk about black people." But see, black people get on TV and talk like that. So why is it okay that black people have a profession at getting on TV and lying about black people and simping for the Democrat Party? But when I get on here and just tell the truth, some people get upset. There is no way whatsoever on God's green earth should a man with a connected brainstem get on television and say Black Lives Matter is the most significant modern movement of our lifetime. You're talking about burning buildings, killing people, the co-founders buying mansions in white neighborhoods. They can't even, I mean, at least steal the money to buy mansions in the hood somewhere or build stuff in the hood. Build real estate and your real estate portfolio in the hood. Oh, no, they can't do that. They got to steal the money from the black man and then go buy stuff in the white neighborhood and swear that they only about black lives. Now, I don't care where you buy your house at, but just don't be a hypocrite while you're doing it. Nobody with a brainstem believes that children should be learning about queer anything. What is the word queer anyway? We grown. Nobody using the word queer. You queer, if you claim that you queer, you need some help. You need to go to the doctor. You need to see what's going on in your mind. Because what is queer anyway? It's just made up terms. This stuff didn't exist long ago. We'd never hear anybody say, I'm queer. I'm here and I'm queer. No, you're not. You just need a dad. You didn't have your daddy. Okay, we get it. Maybe you can get a male role model. Maybe you need to get around some testosterone so you're not walking around with a weak wrist. Man up. And that's just my thoughts on it, you know. But you live in America, you do whatever you want to do. I have my opinions. You can go marry a man. You can go do whatever you want to do. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I just have my opinions on the subject matter. And so when I see a man that's supposed to be a leader in the representation of black people on television, and it's like the Democrats always bring these people on, and they say things that are just asinine to me, I have to come out and say something. I have to come out and give a perspective, because if that's the only voice that's out there, then, ladies and gentlemen, we're losing in the culture war. Now, I got a couple articles that I wanted to address. Let me get to them, because there were some articles about exactly what I'm saying in the inner city communities. Let's see. I thought the Baptist Church. Okay, here you go. Nah, that's not the one I wanted. I'll figure it out. I thought I had it right at the top of the stack. Okay, that's not the right one. Progressive Democrats want. All right, I got to find it at the break. But long story short, when you look at, you know, subject matter related to these topics, somebody needs to speak up and somebody needs to tell the truth, because things can be resolved. You just need to operate in truth. Unity comes through truth. Unity don't come through lies and tacit approval. And tacit approval means that when you don't address something, by virtue of you not addressing it, you're actually giving approval. So it's called tacit approval. We don't need to do that. We need to confront this head on. Teach our young children things that are going to make them prosper in America. What is going to make you prosper in America? We should be having billboards. We should have propaganda on television teaching young people to not have children out of wedlock. Teaching young people the value of finishing school, whether it be high school or college. The value in service, serving your country, serving the fellow man. The value of those things. Staying out of the criminal justice system. Meaning, do not commit crimes that will leave you in a position where you may go to jail and where you may be in the system and it's hard for you to get a job when you get out. All of those things is very simple. Why can't we have that conversation with our young people? Why can't we stop separating each other and say, look, we're all in this together. I don't have to teach my son some special jujitsu magic on a traffic stop. Let's just be reasonable. We all need to be reasonable. There's no separation between black, white, and America. You're either American or you're not. I mean, it should be no separation. Your history is my history, is our history. That's why I have to come against people that get on here and say these stupid things and elevate organizations that have done nothing. Now, before I go to talk to you about Relief Factor, I want to just pose this question. What has Black Lives Matter actually accomplished for black people in America? Now, let me tell you about Relief Factor while you ponder on that idea. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for supplement that works, or you want to be proactive, which means that before you suffer from aches and pains, before inflammation gets the best of you, you should give Relief Factor a try. Very simple. Crack the pack open, about 4 pills in there. You take it, drink it with some water or whiskey. Nah, let me just play. I don't know if whiskey will dissolve the capsules, but you take it with some water, I think you'll be fine. You take it in over a little time, I mean, maybe a couple of days. Some people experience things in a couple of days. Some people may take about a week. But once you take it consistently, you will start feeling the effects like I did. So I want you to go to relieffactor.com, peruse the website. Even if you don't make a decision today, just go look at it. Go look at what Brandon's talking about. And then make a decision at your own discretion. Relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Opposite Tatum Show. I want you to hear this clip from Jim Jordan, which I love Jim Jordan. I met him in person. I think he's a tremendous congressman. This whole Hunter Biden laptop thing, I know that we've letting it go by the wayside for the most part. You know, everybody's sick of talking about it. You kind of want to talk about it when they're going to do something about it. But I still think it's very interesting that Hunter Biden, like, maybe I'm lost somewhere. There's laptops that belong to Hunter Biden that have compromising material on it. So not only is his father in risk of being compromised through the dirt that they have on his son, he's also allegedly, and what I've heard, he's been committing crimes, sex crimes, and drug use, and lying on his application to get a firearm. And, like, when is he going to go to jail? Let me play the clip from Jim Jordan. Hold, wrote a clip.
Hunter Biden finally admits laptop of dirty deals and deeds is his. An op-ed calling out his team's new tactic, playing the victim. What do you make of it, Chairman?
Yeah, I mean, look, how could it be Hunter Biden's laptop? Because, you know, 51 former intel officials told us it wasn't. So, I mean, that to me is just like you've got to be kidding me. So they can say what they want. I think the American people understood. The focus that we'll have on the Judiciary Committee is how big government worked with big tech to keep that information from the American people, starting with those 51 former intel officials who wrote that now famous line that the Hunter Biden laptop story has all the earmarks of a Russian information operation. We knew it wasn't at the time. Now we have confirmation, even from Hunter Biden himself, for goodness sake. So I think that's the key takeaway.
Yep. Hunter Biden said it was his laptop. They knew it was his laptop. And I don't want just an investigation into proving us right that they had made, that they lied to us. I want people to go to jail. Like, it has to be a crime for you to know that there's a crime that had been committed and you cover it up for political purposes. Who gave the directive to sign a document saying that the laptop has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation? All you got to do is look at the laptop and the material on there. How is it going to be Russian disinformation? But they did it. They worked with big tech to suppress it because they wanted to get Joe Biden in the office and they wanted the Democrats to be found favorable. It's a shame, and I hope people go to jail. Y'all hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Need more of Brandon? The Officer Tatum podcast is available on the Salem Podcast Network, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcast. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back. I hope that people go to jail over the Hunter Biden laptop. It's kind of funny, the two-tier system, because, you know, if somebody on the Trump side had a fraction of what Hunter Biden has had in the documents that have been revealed from a laptop, I mean, they'll be buried. I mean, Donald Trump haven't done half of what Hunter Biden's done. And I don't care if he's a president or not. The fact of the matter is he has a relationship with the current president. But your boy Hunter Biden had done way worse stuff. And everybody just acting like it doesn't matter. Like, I saw some stuff that came from another laptop somewhere. I don't know what it is. I saw it on the internet. Somebody was putting it out there. I mean, this dude is like such a degenerate. He's literally got prostitutes with these women that look like prostitutes. He's sniffing cocaine off their naked bodies. Now, for some of y'all who ain't saved, that sound like a good time. But in reality, you are a degenerate person. And your daddy's the president of the United States. It's like on a smaller level. It's like the embarrassment that your son would bring to you if he's getting suspended from school and you're the president. I mean, you're the principal at the school. That's embarrassing. Your kids shouldn't be getting suspended. He's supposed to be a modeled example of what you represent. And that should be the same thing for the president. Like, I mean, you got a kid that's rogue. Maybe you shouldn't be the president. Because then you are susceptible to criticism, and not only susceptible to criticism, but susceptible to influence, foreign influence, bribery. All of these things that you got to apply for when you're a police officer. Like, they want to know all these background things because if you may become a conflict of interest. Right? I mean, you may end up being in debt, so you'll be easily leveraged by the cartel. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into these particular conversations. But anyway, I really do hope that somebody goes to jail over this. But I want to make another video about, your girl, AOC. She is the dumbest, fakest, outraged person I ever seen in my life. I don't even know how people fall for it. She's not even good at it. You know, when somebody's really angry and they have a cadence and they speak very clearly but boldly, and they have these flash points in the conversation where they're convincing, and they use voice inflection and they say these things that make you feel compelled to listen to what they have to say. Some people are charismatic like that. AOC ain't. She's sitting there trying to be Martin Luther King. And she ain't Martin Luther King. She Martin Sluther Queen. Or maybe I call her Martin Sluther Queen. Maybe that's her new name. She ain't Martin Luther King. She's like the wish version of Martin Luther King on her speech. Lady, if you ain't got it in you to yell like that, you ain't got no soul to put your message out there, just stop doing it. Just stop doing it. You ain't got it like that. Let's roll the clip from AOC. Roll the clip.
Thank you. Now, as a fellow New Yorker, I think one of the things that we should talk about here is also one of the disgusting legacies after 9/11 has been the targeting and racism against Muslim Americans throughout the United States of America. And this is an extension of that legacy. Consistency, there is nothing consistent with the Republican Party's continued attack, except for the racism and incitement of violence against women of color in this body. I had a member of the Republican caucus threaten my life, and you all and the Republican caucus rewarded him with one of the most prestigious committee assignments in this Congress. Don't tell me this is about consistency. Don't tell me that this is about a condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks when you have a member of the Republican caucus who has talked about Jewish space lasers and an entire amount of tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me because I didn't get a single apology.
Time has expired.
My life was threatened. Thank you.
Y'all didn't see her bouncing, though. She more bounced to the ounce. She back there bouncing. They were coaching her up. Hey, AOC, you got to be more Martin Luther King. and less Karen. Be more Martin Luther King, less Karen. And she tried. All they had to do is let her go to a Baptist church a couple times and wait to the end of the sermon when the pastor when they played the organ and the pastor hooping and he put his head back and that's what she should have done. And God said in Deuteronomy 13:5, God wanted us to move over the face of the earth. And that's what she should have did. She should have listened to them and had the hoop going and sound like a scammy Seiko or salesman pastor. AOC should be ashamed of herself. Crisis actor is what I call her. Really trying to sound deep, but you ain't deep, bro. You ain't deep. You about as shallow as the front end of the swimming pool. And your arguments are shallow. Ilhan Omar, who's an anti-Semite. Let me tell you how much of an anti-Semite Ilhan Omar is and how stupid AOC is defending her. By virtue of her religion, she's anti-Semitic. By virtue of being a Muslim, you are against Jewish people, period. Now, somebody may want to say, oh, that's not true. What does the Quran say about the Jewish faith? What does it say about the Jewish faith? What does it say about any faith that's not Islam? You don't believe in Allah and Muhammad, his prophet, the final prophet. If another religion is saying and not acknowledging Muhammad as the final prophet, then in Islam, you are an infidel. You are not going to heaven. You can go down a list. Now, she exercised her hatred towards groups like that, prioritizing Palestine, all kinds of different things that you could argue that are anti-Semitic. She's anti-American more than anything, if you ask me. Now, when Republicans get in the office, they say, look, you got to get up off the Intel Committee. I think it's the Intel Committee or one of these offices that has something to do with the fact that a person cannot be on a committee and be anti-Semitic or be on a committee and be a religious zealot nut that hates America. And so AOC gets on her Martin Luther Queen rant and try to sound so deep and courageous. It's about black and brown women. No, it's not. It's about Republican Democrat. The Republicans in the office of Democrats cannot occupy these positions. They did the same thing when the Democrats take over and the Republicans have to sit down. These people are not genuine. And it's funny because AOC is definitely not genuine, but people cannot see her acting. She's up there really putting on a show. That's not genuine. That's not from her heart. That's not heartfelt. I can see that. I can see that clear as the noonday sun. That's not heartfelt. Somebody coached her. All of like Greta Thunberg and all these little nut jobs. They coach these people to try to make statements of I want to say grandeur, but that's not the word. They're here to make these statements to sound so deep and get you emotionally involved. Hopefully they get sound bites. And if they get some sound bites that got them sounding good, then you go donate to their campaign and you really think that they're doing something and they ain't doing nothing. So I wish that people could see through these individuals, Republican or Democrat. I'm not in the bed with either one of y'all. I believe in genuine behavior. I believe in authenticity. I'd rather you be authentically opposed to me than to be opposed to me because every black man tell you you got to be opposed to me, or be opposed to me because I'm a conservative or I voted for Donald Trump. No, be genuinely opposed to me because you have a genuine perspective that's counter to mine. I'm totally okay with that. I support that. I have nothing but respect for people that disagree with me that have a conscious mind to have an articulable argument against what I have to say. But if you're just a person that's just talking out the side of your neck, not saying nothing, don't have no values, have no core, you're just saying a lot of hot air, I have zero respect for you. You won't get no respect from your boy B. Tatum. But I'm coming up against the break. So if you want to call in at 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'll catch you guys after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show on the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want you to have a glorious experience once you're done with your day and you've headed home, when you take that shower that you've been waiting to take all day long, and you get out the shower and you have a quality towel to dry yourself off with. And then when you wake up in the morning and you got the boogers in your eyes and spit running down the side of your face because you've been sleeping that good all night on the MyPillow bed sheets, and also the My Pillow, and also the pillow topper or the bed topper. I want you to be able to go to the mirror in the morning and get you a nice face towel and be able to wipe your face and be prepared for a voluptuous day. I want you to do all these things because I care about you, because I love you, and I know what's best for you. So go to MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Get the six-piece towel set, one that you can dry off with, one you can wipe your face with, all of the above. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Put in discount code Brandon and get you some towels today. $49.99 for a six-piece. Go to MyPillow.com. All right, let me continue on with what I was talking about before the break, which I kind of forgot what I was talking about during the break. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. This story right here just really struck me. It was kind of weird. I'm surprised they put these details in this particular article from Fox News, but I've been noticing Fox News has been trying to be really sensationalized lately. They be having OnlyFans girls on there and featuring them and all kind of stuff. And I'm like, what is going on here? Why are y'all even saying that? Anyway, Texas cop killer executed after delivering last message to victim's family just feet away. So this person, I don't like to say their names. I don't want to give them no credit. A 43-year-old received lethal injection at the state penitentiary in Huntsville. That's where you go to die, in Huntsville. For the March 2007 killing of Dallas police officer, Senior Corporal Mark Nix. And this is a statement that he said, which actually made me feel some type of way, right? Once I read this to you guys, I think you're going to feel some type of way. In the statement, the man who was being put to death said, "I would like to apologize to Mark and the Nix family for taking him away from you." And this is what he said while he was laying strapped down to a gurney in the death chamber. He added, "I hope this brings you closure." Now, that was really crazy to me when I read that, because you lost a loved one that means so much to you. And this happened 16 years ago. And now he's finally being put to death. And his response is that he apologized and that he hopes that his death brings you closure. I don't know if it make you feel the way it make me feel, but it's very, very weird and also heartbreaking at the same time. That in his death, he hopes that him being no more will give them closure. And the sad part is there's nothing that's gonna bring him back. And it says the gentleman, I don't want to call him a gentleman, the dead man, never looked at Nick's relatives or friends, which included his mother and his sister, who watched the execution a few feet away from him through the window. Instead, he thanked his family, his friends for support, while urging his children to stand tall and continue to make him proud. In a quote, he says, "Don't worry about me. I'm ready to fly," he said. "All right, warden, I'm ready to ride." And they began to put him to death. And they wrote it in a graphic way in this article from Fox News, as the lethal dose of powerful sedative began to take effect, he took two quick breaths, then began to snore. His 11th snore was his last, and there was no further movement. 22 minutes later, at 6:41 p.m., he was pronounced dead. This dummy, rest his soul, but this dummy led officers on a high-speed chase after being spotted driving a car that matched the description of one used by a murder suspect nearly 16 years ago. This person fired one shot at Nix, the police officer who passed away, when the officer tried to break the vehicle passenger window after the chase. The bullet hit Nick's badge, splintering and fragmenting into his neck, which severed his artery. He later died at the hospital. Very, very interesting. And I don't know if you guys feel the same way I feel about it, but it was interesting to hear that perspective, man, because death is so final. And a part of me almost felt bad for the man, because imagine 16 years after doing something that you probably shouldn't have done, that you may not intended to do, or maybe you did, and spending all that time in jail, in prison. Now, don't get me wrong. He deserved what he got for what he did. But spending that much time in prison, maybe come finding the Lord, getting your life back on track. You got children, you got a family, and all, just all of the above. And you are literally getting ready to go from dark, from light to dark. You literally getting ready to go from life to death. And it's not a surprise, right? Like, so most of us are going to be a surprise, right? You know, you here today, you go tomorrow. Shocking. It wasn't in the script. But this person is sitting on the table knowing that as soon as they hit the go, I'm going to experience no longer existing. And for you to have children and have to then give your children the last word. I mean, I hope his children wasn't there. But giving his children the last word and saying, look, I hope y'all go on without me. I'll be fine. And the part that stuck out to me most was when he said, I'm ready to fly. All right, warden, I'm ready to ride. Either he's a complete lunatic and crazy, still, or the interesting part of a man potentially finding the Lord and finding peace after all that he's done, even to his death. And that's what kind of struck me when I was reading this story. Now, here's my opinion. So, let me say this real quick. I want to give a statement here. I should have said at the beginning. Nix was 33 years old at the time of his death. He was a U.S. Navy veteran of Operation Desert Storm. He had been on the Dallas force for nearly 7 years and was engaged to be married when he was killed. So if that helps you not feel too bad about that guy or for that guy. But it brings up a point about lethal injection. As a Christian, I find it to be very difficult for me to be a Christian minister in a lethal injection or killing somebody. However, I do not oppose the death penalty. It's the difference between killing an unborn kid that have nothing to do with nothing versus the law of the land that illustrates very clearly that if you murder somebody in a way in which he did, you could be put to death. You accepted those terms. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Make America godly again. The Officer Tatum Show.
Everybody's got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. If you are interested in watching, which I believe that you are, because if you like what you hear and you're interested in watching it live on the television while you listen, go to SalemNewsChannel.com. That's SalemNewsChannel.com. Or you can download the app. All you have to do is go to the App Store, put in Salem News Channel in the App Store, and you can download it on your iPhone or your Android. And I think that if you have an Android, you're a cooler person, but you can still download the same app. I just wanted to throw that out there for you iPhone people. Anyway, also, if you got a Roku, just put in Salem News Channel. In modern society, if you want to find ways to find the Salem News Channel, if you just put it in the Google search, you're going to find all you need to succeed. Nick, can you put a calls up for me? If there's any. Let me go down the list. I'll bring a couple callers in. What was his name in Missouri? So let me go to Chris in Brandon, Missouri. Or maybe it's Chris Brandon. Okay, Chris in Brandon, Missouri. Welcome to the show.
Mississippi.
You there? Oh, Mississippi. I'm sorry. Mississippi. Brandon, Mississippi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for what you do. And your producer was playing a Sade. That brings back memories. She was a great singer.
Yes, she was.
What I was going to talk about is how these politicians go on there and they read off a script. They can't, like you were saying a while ago, they can't talk from the heart. They got to be scripted. You know, a lot of them probably didn't write that stuff. It's like watching actors standing, you know, they stand in front of the mirrors to get it down pat before they go on screen to film.
Right.
Just like today with AOC. I heard that and I'm like, where have you been living all your life? You're a bartender. You're trying to come in there and you're trying to get all this compassion. I have a couple of liberal friends. They believe in this stuff. And I tell them, quit watching The View and stuff. Go and read for yourself. Go and do research. Like coming up with the Bible. You know, people read one verse and run forever on something. And I would tell them, keep reading. Keep reading. Because my stepdad, I used to listen to Ozzy Osbourne. They thought he was a devil worshiper. And I'm like, dude, it's just music. I'm not influenced by that. I like to listen to it. And they were, you know, throwing all this Bible stuff at me. And then that's what I was telling them, but you're racist. Where in the Bible does it talk about that? You know, and it's just, it's so mind-blowing that our country has come to where it's come now. And yeah, I thank you for being out there talking the truth. And, you know, it's common sense thinking a lot of times. Why do we have to be scripted? That's where I feel right. This country's trying to take us. You know, believe what we tell you. Like with the vaccine, I don't want to take it. If God wants me, he's going to take me. Why should I believe in something? I don't know, Officer Tatum. They've taken this country so far to the left, and when it blows up in their face and they realize, who are they going to want to come bail them out?
Right. Chris, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. But you hit the nail on the head. Why is it all scripted, man? You know, like, I get that you want to have an articulated presentation. You know, you want to make sure you say what you mean. And some people don't have the talent to bring that to the forefront of their mind when they're speaking. But at the end of the day, you do want to have some realistic compassion. Like, you need to, like, the reason... And I don't know. I think this is my opinion. I believe the reason that I'm very successful speaking is because I actually do it from the heart. Like I'm expressing how I really genuinely feel. And the thing is that a lot of times people ask me to go speak in an environment in which I'm expressing how I feel and other people agree with that. I don't have to write a script to do a speech to college students. I go to the college and I just talk to them like I'm talking to my brother. This is what it is. Now I have a lot of knowledge in my mind that can come to the forefront. And I think some of it is a God-given talent to do some things that, you know, that I do when I speak, but overall it's just be genuine. I've seen people that are not very good speakers. Like they're not charismatic, but when they're genuine, it's impactful. Even if you're not good at it, if people can tell when it's like you really believe it versus when you're just saying something to cover air, to cover space, people can feel it when you really believe it. But anyway, I got to go to the break, and I want y'all to know about Relief Factor before I get there. If you're looking for a solution to inflammation in your body, joint discomfort, I mean, this is literally lubricant for the joints. And if you are a person who is sick and tired of being sick and tired of having joint discomfort, aches and pains and things like that, give Relief Factor a honest try. Don't just try it in your mind, which means, oh man, I really like that. That sounds like a great idea. Don't just try it in your mind. Get a physical experience with Relief Factor. All you got to do is go to relieffactor.com, get started with the 3-week quick starter. You can get it shipped right to your house. Watch it work. Order more. But get the 3-week quick starter because you get a deal when you do the 3-week starter for $19.95. Get it. Watch it work. Order more. I got to ask them, can you have it on subscription? Because then that'd be great. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Got a couple people calling in, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Why are we scripted, ladies and gentlemen? I don't understand, but I'm sick of these fake people, and we got to keep exposing them. Switching gears here, let's go to Don in Fairplay, South Carolina.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm retired from NYPD, 24 years. And I'm sitting down here in South Carolina enjoying myself. However, I was so glad that a couple of months ago to hear you on the air, another brother police officer.
I appreciate it.
And you know what life in the street is like. Most people have no idea what life in the street is. I walked a foot post in community policing in Bedford-Stuyvesant for 3 years before I retired.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that, Don. Don, thank you so much for calling in from South Carolina, and thank you for your service, sir. I really, really appreciate that. And thanks for the encouraging words. You know, it does feel good. Let me tell you how this story, I was going, because we got our headquarters. We're still filling it out. We're like 99, where we work at in our headquarters space, we're 100% moved in. I say 99%. We still got to work on our podcast room. But down in the print shop, we just got out our print equipment here. And so we're setting it up. We got the Spider 2 down there that we're setting up. And I had to go get a computer for it, because they can't just sell you a machine with all the stuff that it need. They got to sell you a machine. You got to go all out and go on a scavenger hunt to find all the stuff for a $60,000 machine. But anyway, let me not complain. So I'm at the Best Buy. And walking from my car to the store, I see a brother out there, black man. He said, I was getting ready to walk past him, and he go, "Man, I love what you do, man. I watch your content all the time." And it just made me feel so good. And I get in there, and I go to the back where the computers are at, and the gentleman was helping a older lady. She was very, very nice, had a dog with her. And I go to walk past her, and, you know, I say hey to everybody. So I smiled and say hello. And she go, "Oh, my God, Officer Tatum, it's you. You just made my day. I love your content. Thank you for what you do." And you know, she did it right in front of the guy who's going to help me, right? And so I'm all shy, but I said, "Thank you so much." And I said, "God bless you." And me and him go to the cash register because we're getting ready to look up some computers. Another gentleman comes over to me. I don't know if he was with her or not. But he came up to me, "Officer Tatum, man, I love you, man. You just keep up the good work, man. I just want to give you a fist pump and say thank you for what you do." And the dude was like, "Who are you?" And, you know, I ain't going to lie, I feel good to kind of feel popular, you know. And come to find out, he was a photographer, and he also was a conservative. Because every time people see me in public and then I have to, people ask me, "What do you do?" And it's kind of hard for me to explain because I don't just do a syndicated radio show. You know, I have my YouTube channel. I own this company. I own an energy drink company. You know, I do a whole bunch of other stuff. We have a screen print company. We have a 3PL distribution center. And I run all of that stuff. So it's kind of almost what environment am I in that I'll talk about what I do. But I said, you know, I have a YouTube channel because they were referring to it. I said, I have a YouTube channel. I have a podcast. I have a syndicated radio show all over the country. And the guy was like, "I need to follow you." And so he looked me up and he was like, "You're conservative, right?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, 100%. And he was like, "Oh, my, thank God, because all my coworkers are liberals, man. So it's good to see a conservative." Saying all that to say, thank you so much, because you guys inspire me to continue to move forward, to continue to say the things I say, because it's not always easy. I don't always get along with people. I probably lose some opportunities here and there because people just can't get with somebody that's willing to say the absolute truth. And I don't even think I'm like 100% guy. I'm like 90%, because the other 10% of truth will destroy people's feelings. And I really don't like to hurt people's feelings too much. So I kind of get about a 90-10 approach, where 90% I'll tell all out exactly what I feel like. And the little 10% is like, I don't want people to be destroy their whole life if I tell them that and keep it real with them about certain things. So I'd say for the most part, there are some people that just say whatever they want to say. They don't have no measurement. They'll tell their mama their breath stink or something. And it's like, come on, bro. Or they'll tell a person to their face they ugly and stinky and they ain't never going to get no man or something like that. I'm not that type of person. If I feel it, it's not worth me saying it to somebody to destroy their feelings. Anyway, Michael from Macon, Mississippi?
That's it. Or is Officer it? In fact, my good friend, I spoke to you back in September, I believe. I'm a Mississippi State man. You remember when I was telling you we played Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
Football?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir, it's good to talk to you again. So, first of all, how are you doing? How have things been for you?
Oh, I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed to be alive and be on the radio speaking my mind.
You know what? What you were just talking about, sir. Let me tell you, I know exactly why people love listening to you, and it's the reason why I can't turn you off. Like right now, I'm watching your videos on YouTube as I'm talking to you right now because I can't get enough listening to you because here's the difference. You're real. You're real. You're not fake. And that's where the majority of this nation, they don't know who to believe anymore. Really, nowadays, who can you trust? Because a politician is just going to get up there and speak a whole bunch of hoopla. I won't lie to you, Officer Tatum. I'm a hypocrite by trade. I'm not going to lie about it. I say things. So I am a Christian, but I don't always let my walk follow my, or let me phrase that. My talk doesn't always follow my walk. I mean well in everything that I do, but when my temper and my anger gets the best of me, I say things that, I'll just be straight up honest with you, sir. I have stereotyped a lot. I'm not trying to necessarily have a full-out confession here on the show, but one thing about you that you do, I think what you do, you open up a portal for other people when they realize they may be struggling with in some areas, and hearing you be real about things, it helps them. Someone like me who can confess and just tell you I need to be better in certain situations that I'm not doing as well in. And
That's awesome, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, and thank you so much for the call. We're getting ready to go to the break, but I love that you shared that because that's what sets you free. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has it all figured out. But let me tell you about Relief Factor, and then we're going to get back on that subject matter before the end of the show or before the end of the hour. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, look no further. Relief Factor is your supplement. Are you looking for a solution that is 100% drug-free? Well, then Relief Factor is your supplement. If you're looking for a solution that can help you fight inflammation and joint discomfort, and you could take it as something preventative or proactively, then Relief Factor is your supplement. So if you've checked the box on all of those things, what are you waiting for? I'm getting ready to go to the break, so you have time to go and check out relieffactor.com while I'm taking a break, and I'll be back in a second. But go on, check out relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter for $19.95, and you will never be the same. Relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing I want to say before I go to the major break, I'm going to run downstairs and see how they're doing that print because we finally got our spider up and it's printing and it looks beautiful. It's literally a laser that prints the screen in like a minute. Anyway, if you're a screen printing person, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. However, it's a lost skill, a dying sport to be authentic. And I never in my life understood how people were inauthentic. I never understood how a person can do that because it's really easy to just be yourself. That's like the easiest thing on planet Earth to do. I mean, it should be. Some people may convince themselves in their minds that they don't like who they really are. But it should be easy to just be yourself. You know, I tell you one thing, I shied away from certain things that I was inadequate about, but I wasn't fake about it, right? I don't like reading. I never did I get better at it over time, but it's always been a thing of mine. Like, I never just grasped the skill of reading efficiently. And so I just avoid it. But I never get up there and try to act like I'm somebody I'm not. I just keep it real. When I was younger, I used to wear pants. I never wore shorts. I hated my legs. People used to always say I had skinny legs, and it just took me to the grave. I hated, hated, hated my legs. It was so bad. I used to wear sweatpants under my pants in the summer because I hated how skinny my legs was. That was crazy. I probably had like an issue, but back in the day, you just get over it. Grandma used to tell me, well, boy, I don't know why you complain about your legs. At least you got legs. And I used to always think, like, Grandma, you right. Because if I didn't have no legs, I would be like, I'll accept skinny ones if I can have legs so I can run around and I didn't have to be bound by a wheelchair or whatever the obstacles you face not having legs. And so I always remembered that. But being authentic is something that everybody should strive to be. Just be yourself, as weird as you are. There's other people weird too. And don't let the Instagram and all that stuff fool you. These people are having a worst, they're experiencing the worst time of their life, but they posting cool stuff on Instagram. They ain't really cool. They not happy. That's like you see people you think a happy couple and then they divorce the next week. You're like, what happened? I thought they was happy. No, they ain't happy. They putting on the front. These people are fake. They putting on what you think their life should be like instead of actually improving what their real life is like. I'll say this before I go to the break. Just be honest and be authentic. And before you go and worry about somebody else, focus on yourself. Before you think the grass is greener on the other side, how about you just water your own grass? Is that too much to ask for? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to the break. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Tennessee legislators move ban on child sex changes forward. Move ban on child sex changes forward. It says Tennessee lawmakers are one step closer to banning the practice of child sex change procedures in the state. The bill SB 001, which would ban pediatric medical transition in Tennessee, is quickly moving forward after having passed a Senate committee with an 8-1 vote on Wednesday. It is now headed to the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. And from the very beginning, the doctors were negligent, said Chloe Cole, an 18-year-old detransitioner from California who is permanently scarred from having a double mastectomy. I guess it's spelled like mastectomy, but it's mastectomy surgery to remove her breasts at 15 years old. They treated me as if I were an adult who was capable of making informed, lifelong decisions that would affect every area of my life, from socialization and relationships to sexual function and my ability to have children. According to the local news station News Channel 5, the committee held in Cordell Hull in Nashville, was met with a packed audience. The bill will still need to clear additional committees in the House and Senate chamber before it is reviewed by Governor Bill Lee. Can you believe that? I mean, I think people should lose their license. You know, it's very weird about this whole thing. It's like, is it money or is it morality? Or the degradation of morality. Why would you think a kid can make a decision like that? And why would you want a kid? Like, if there's no way in the world my 12-year-old son can tell me anything. I'm like, listen, boy, you've been around for 12 years. And in two of those years, you were subconscious. You're living in subconscious world. It's like you don't really know what's going on. And I know as an adult that things are not permanent, that your feelings are not permanent, that life, things that go on in your life are not permanent. Give it time. It will change. All of your best friends that you had in middle school, many of them you would never talk to again. Life changes. Things, people that are alive today ain't alive tomorrow. So as a kid, if you feel some type of way, that would necessitate you to have surgery, remove your boobs, breasts, I guess is a better term, remove your genitalia for men at 7, 8, 9, 10, 15. Who authorized that? What person that practiced medicine went to school and got an education in pediatric medicine or whatever you want to call it, and you thought that was a good idea? And you know the statistical data shows that these kids grow out of these phases of transgenderism, homosexuality, all of the above. They grow out of it. I remember I used to want to be like Michael Jordan. I quit playing basketball in middle school because I kept fouling out the game and I couldn't dribble with my left. You couldn't pay me to think that I wasn't going to be a Michael Jordan one day. Man, I changed. I changed the way I think. I no longer think the same way. I no longer value the same things. I was a kid. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I'm 35 and I still feel like there's so much more to learn. So many people that I know that are much older than me that are much wiser because you have to have experience. As a young man, if you somehow think that you're gay, you need to have experiences before you make that determination. You need to like go through puberty. You need to give it a try to date women first, at least. Then you would know, okay, I don't like women, then maybe I should be celibate. I wouldn't say you should be with a man. But at least have some experiences first before you make a decision that's so final. I remember if you left it up to me, you know, sometimes I would say, I hate my daddy. I wish he'd die. You know, when you're a kid, you'd be saying stupid stuff like that. Now, if my wish came true, that would be the most devastating thing that ever happened to me in my life. One of the most devastating things that happened to me in my life. But when you're a kid, you're just compulsive, you're angry, you're upset because daddy told you to wash the dishes. Daddy told you to fold the clothes and you didn't fold them because you're being lazy and you halfway doing stuff and he knocked the clothes off the couch back onto the floor and make you refold everything. Now you're mad at him because you don't understand the concept of doing things right. Being methodical about the things you do, taking pride in what you do. You don't understand that when you're young. Then when you become a man, you realize, oh, that's why my daddy made me wash dishes. That's why my daddy taught me how to iron clothes. That's why my father wouldn't just let me get away with these things. That's why my father wouldn't just let me go out with my friends and whenever I come, because he understood the dangers that were out there that I didn't understand. And for people to let these young girls have mastectomies is crazy to me. And parents... Now, I can see how parents can get tricked, but these are the same parents that are dumb enough to be their kids' friends. But I can see how people trick the parents. They go, oh, they're going to commit suicide. And as a parent, you know, you don't want your kid to commit suicide. You know, you can't. That's worse than them being a transgender. You know, so you may be willing to do some things you wouldn't normally do if a doctor that you trust because you believe everything somebody tell you. And you're probably not a really efficient parent in the first place, but moving on. If you were to, you know, be a parent like you're supposed to, you could reason with your children and talk to them and allow them to express themselves so you can get to the bottom of the way they feel. Because there's no way in the world a kid pre-sex understands what they're attracted to. What you mean you're attracted? When you're 7 years old, you're attracted to boys? And what you want to play? You want to push cars around with them? I mean, what are you attracted to? His body? Is it you attracted to a 7 year old body? You're a kid. Y'all kids. Y'all ain't attracted sexually. Unless you get predisposed. I mean, not predisposed, but you get exposed to sexuality at a young age. Then maybe that could be the case, but that's because that's manipulation. You're not born that way. When I was 7 years old, I wasn't thinking about, oh, I'm attracted to a little 7-year-old girl. I mean, I had seen stuff on TV, so I was attracted to women. But, of course, I was a kid. I didn't know what to do with a woman. What, kiss her? You know, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what was going on. And, you know, and for all of us on here, that's, you know, you were born during the day but not yesterday. You know, when you were virgin and you have ideas about what would this be like? When you actually experience that, isn't it different than what you thought it would be? That experience can dictate how you proceed moving forward. And when you're a kid, you don't have that experience to decide who you love and who you're sexually attracted to. Not even at 15, you don't know what's going on. Anyway, I didn't beat that dead horse to a pulp. Judy from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Officer Tatum, first of all, much respect and love to you. Are you there?
Yes,
ma'am. Can you hear me? Okay, great. I wanted to talk to you about Chloe Cole, who you've been speaking about. I've seen a few interviews with her. She's such a wonderful, beautiful, strong, intelligent, and courageous young woman. She was pushed all the way through each doctor that her parents took her to, kept pushing her along. Yeah, okay, you want to be a boy, okay, that's fine. You go to the next level, started taking hormones, and okay, next level, next level. And even all the way up through the double mastectomy, they kept pushing it along, all these doctors, the woke generation, okay? They all want to be woke or whatever, I don't know. And the parents, like you were saying, they just wanted to do, they wanted to have their daughter happy. And the doctors were telling the parents, well, would you rather have a live son or a dead daughter? And this is just so disgusting, but this young lady is now going forward, and she's going to be suing each and every one of those doctors who pushed her along, who kept on agreeing with her. And I pray for her all the time because she's just so courageous, and this is not right that our society is doing this to our children.
Yeah, thank you so much, Judy. I got to go to the break. Thank you so much. I know that young lady. I seen her. I think she followed me on social media because I made a video about her. What a courageous young lady. I love what she's doing. She's opening so many eyes, and I hope that this changes the world, especially for young people that are struggling like she was. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Seek and ye shall find. God's got your six, the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. If you want to watch the show and listen to the show at the same time, stimulate your senses, ladies and gentlemen. Go to SalemNewsChannel.com, Salem News Channel. Sorry about that, SalemNewsChannel.com. You can get it on your app. Well, let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I've been taking Relief Factor for, 9 months now, and it's been tremendous. And Relief Factor has helped me in more ways than just inflammation, or at least I didn't. You know, I was telling people about this. I had this chest pain. It was like tightness in my chest, and I'm not advocating that, you know, you probably need to go to the doctor, but I was taking Relief Factor, and it just started really lightening up the I would argue pressure in my chest. And I think it could have been inflammation or it could have been stress. And Relief Factor just made me feel so much better. There's nothing that I could do to make me feel better. And when I started taking Relief Factor, it just, maybe it's the way it relaxes, you know, muscles or whatever. It really made me feel tremendously good, you know. And then, you know, one of my really, really good friends, he's a friend and a mentor to me. He was telling me about his shoulder injury that he had. It kind of like a over time type of an injury, because he was riding a bike, he had to reach back in his pouch to get snacks out and just develop something in his shoulder, and he was taking Relief Factor, and he couldn't find anything that'll make it better but Relief Factor. And I wish you guys could see all these testimonies. I mean, it's so many testimonies for people saying Relief Factor do all kinds of stuff for them, even beyond joint pain, joint discomfort, and inflammation. It's just that legally we can't tell you is going to do some certain things for you, but it's only one way to find out. All you got to do is go to relieffactor.com, or call the number 804-RELIEF. Oh, I see the sheet. It makes no sense. Let me get a caller. Let me get some callers that are calling in. Let's see. Joe from Las Vegas. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey,
Officer Tatum, honored to speak with you. I just wanted to have a little unique story. Tuesday night, I called in from Las Vegas around, 4:30. And I was looking forward to talking about a law enforcement issue because that was my background, among other things. And you went and spoke over an hour, and it was the best hour of my life. You would think, oh, gee, I want to talk to him. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because you talked about a true personal relationship with God. And the last 10 years of my life have been pretty bad. And a lot of stuff happened that bring a man to his knees. But the reality is you made me realize that what I've done, I've always had a relationship with God, but I was at that level one that you talked about. I knew I was, oh my goodness, I knew the mass in Latin. I'm dating my age here, but you know, I knew when to ring the bell. I knew when to ring the bell. I knew how to light the incense, but it was a level one. And I realized after listening to you for an hour, that the best part of my life was when I had that personal relationship and I let Jesus take the wheel. I got that Rocky Balboa attitude that I could do everything. There's a brick wall. Let's run through it. Don't go around it. Run through it. But the reality is it was a failure to commit. And from listening to you that hour, I made a commitment and I'm going to find myself that level three and I'm going to get back on track. I just want to let you know that by not talking to you was the best hour of my life. It was really that kind of crazy, but that's how it worked out. And I was on the line, actually, but I stopped in front of my grandkids' house, and they mauled me because I'm a hell of a grandparent, heck of a grandparent. And, you know, they were mauling me, and when they were mauling me saying hi, I hit the red button there, and I actually hung up without knowing it. So, but anyway, I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me because, you know, I'll tell you guys sometimes, like when I'm talking about certain things, I feel like it's on my heart to divert and talk about other things. And, you know, maybe that was a message just for Joe. You know, I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm literally sitting in the studio, me and Nick, and I'm looking at a camera and a TV screen that has the callers up. I don't know who I'm talking to, but in my heart, I really, you know, feel like, okay, I need to go down this path. I need to say these things, or I need to go down this area. And it's something that I passionately believe. It's not something that I just read in a book somewhere. Like I remember my story of being a Christian, or, you know, at least I was a Christian on the weekend, right? I mean, not the whole weekend, just on Sunday. I was a Christian. And then, you know, my life was a certain way. But then when I really got a connection with God, like I have never been the same. I have never been the same. And so I see it and I realize that, wow, I thought I had a relationship with God, but I didn't. It was very surface level. It was, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I go to church every now and again. And I never read the Bible. You know, I just listen to the pastor up there and whatever he say, I don't even bring a Bible to the church. You know, and I methodically go through these things and I say, wow, I thought that my life was at a good place for the most part, like almost as good as it could get spiritually. And then I realized I'd never really had a real connection. I was just experiencing a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, because believe it or not, there's a spiritual component to your relationship with God. It's not just carnal. It's not just natural. And the statement that just literally makes me, it just brings so much revelation to me, is when Peter was talking to Jesus and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He actually asked a general question to a few of the apostles there. And he said, who do men say that I am? And they came up with all these theologies and all the things that people were saying. And then he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And first of all, that was very honorable for Jesus to point out Peter specifically. To me, it foreshadowed the trust that Jesus had in Peter being an apostle that started the church in the book of Acts. But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said something so profound to him that it just stuck with me forever. Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but it was the Father in heaven. Do you know how deep that is? What Jesus was saying that, look, you didn't get this through carnal knowledge. No man taught you this. The Father in heaven revealed this to you. This was something revealed that other people don't understand. They don't have that. You can't go to school and pay for this knowledge. This is supernaturally revealed to you by the Father in heaven. And this is the experience that I'm alluding to, is that the knowledge of the scripture, the understanding of God, the understanding of Jesus Christ is very surface level until you get a personal relationship with God. And then the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the scripture become revealed to you, not because your pastor's so good or seminary school is so good, is because the Father in heaven reveal who he is to you, and you would never be the same. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Every now and again, I'll touch on scriptural things that I find to be very important, because in this life, you know, it doesn't matter how much politics you know. If you don't know the Lord, then you are not in an advanced position or in the best position, believe it or not. And I think it's invaluable that sometimes we have to talk about Jesus. We have to talk about God. We have to talk about your relationship in that spectrum. And I just feel that so many people could have experienced a life-changing, life-altering experience if, in fact, we just slow down and just compartmentalize some of these things. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have the best dress to go to church. And I would argue that you may not have to even start out going to a church facility. You need to sit back and think to yourself, what do I want to experience out of life? And then you have to understand that God is sovereign over everything. So how do you partner in your rightful position with God so that the things that you desire in your life can not only come to fruition, but come to fruition in a better way than you thought it should? Because we have a finite mind. You may tell a person, hey, I want to marry James Earl. And you don't know James Earl is going to turn into a pedophile in 15 years. But see, God knows. So God don't give you James Earl. God give you Charleston. Let me say Charleston. I'm just trying to figure out somebody's name. I know God may give you Charleston. Now, Charleston may not be as cool as James Earl, but Charleston is what God knows is best for your life. Don't you want that? Wouldn't you like to have that experience with life instead of an experience where you just fall on your head every now and again? It's like the purpose is to step back, get out of religion, get out of religion, get into relationship. Religion will cause you to fall off of a cliff. Religion will cause you to hate your brother. Religion will cause you to be lost in the sauce, listening to somebody who really just want a paycheck. They turn in the gospel and charisma into a sustainable income. And if you get too caught up in religion, you're going to get caught up in that income stream. And that income stream ain't got nothing to do with the purpose that God has for your life. So get in a position where you're saying, okay, God, it's just me and you. I'm open. I'm an open vessel. I'm here to serve. God, just lead me where you want me to go. I forfeit my own belief systems, right? I forfeit my own, my own endeavors, because I'm humble enough to understand that I don't know what's going on. I don't know the future. Half of the time, I'm mad one day, I'm happy one day, I like this today, I hate it tomorrow. So God, and I want you to do this in a place where you're by yourself. If you're in a room before you go to bed, just take some quiet time. Put that phone down. block out everybody and just have a conversation with God as if he was sitting there on the bed with you. And you can just ask him and say anything you want to. And just have that relationship. Be honest, be open, be vulnerable. And talk to God and allow God to connect with you. And you build that relationship, you and God. And the Bible prescribes the way to do that is through Christ Jesus. And so build that relationship with God through Christ. Understand what Christ did in his death on the cross and what he had proposed for us to rekindle a more authentic relationship with the Father in heaven that we used to have at the beginning of time. And you ain't got to get deep in theology. Nobody cares if you believe in the Trinity, the oneness, the all this sort of stuff. Man, that's religious rhetoric by man. You need to get in the Bible and get a relationship. And God will reveal who he is to you and what's important. And I know some people probably get weirded out when I say the Trinity and all that stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, these things are concocted by man. Man's interpretation. And so don't let that distract you from your relationship. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, Relief Factor is your solution. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works well for me. And I'm pretty confident that it'll work well for you. The only way you're going to find out is if you give it a try. Because I could tell you till I'm blue in the face that it's going to work. But verify what I'm saying by getting some Relief Factor. It's only $19.95 for the three-week quick starter. So you get 3 weeks of worth of Relief Factor. And you could take it, you could try it, watch it work. And if you got a little left over, you can give it to somebody else. And then both of y'all can experience what it's like to have a supplement that really helps you with inflammation and joint discomfort and even be a preventative if you are proactive with it. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
The American dream will survive. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got one question for you. What time is it? Say it with me. It's pillow time. My pillow have a towel set that's out of control, unbelievable, and you will cherish the moment that you share with you and that towel set. Now, it ain't up to me what you do with the towel set. That's between you and God. However, if you're looking for towels that work, if you want towels that are absorbent and that also are comfortable and they feel good and an incredible price, you can get the 6-piece towel set. Now, I know some of you wish that I was saying you get a 6-piece chicken nugget or a 6-piece chicken with the thighs and the legs, but I'm talking about towels right now. And maybe you can wash your greasy hands off on the towels if you'd like. However, put in discount code Brandon at mypillow.com and you can get 6-piece towel set for $49.99. Incredible price for the quality of towels that you'll get. You know, find somewhere else that gives you a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Let me give y'all a quick secret about money-back guarantees. As a business owner, and I'm not saying this is, I'm promising you this, but I'm just giving you some insight. If a company has a 60-day money-back guarantee, how many times have you sent something back in 60 days? They're taunting you, daring you to send it back, knowing you ain't never going to send it back because they make good products. We can put a lifetime warranty on stuff that we know ain't nobody going to send it back. That's how confident my pillow is. 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to mypillow.com, put in discount code Brandon, and get the hookup. 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Sylvia from Florida, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
I am so proud of you. Very proud of you for standing up on the truth. You don't know what God got in store for you. I wish we had more young men like you. I'm very proud of you, and your wife should be very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia.
Keep keep telling the truth. Everything you mentioned on this radio is the truth. God bless you, honey.
Thank you, Sylvia. I really appreciate you. That is a bless. Sound like my grandma. That sound like my grandma on the phone. I almost got emotional right there. Grandma says she's proud of me. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, and you know, it makes me feel like it makes me feel joyful that I'm able to add value to other people's lives. And, you know, when people call in and they say these great things, it's not about me. Is that it brings me back to when I got saved, right? Anytime somebody say, man, I'm proud of you, man, you're doing such a great job, I go back to that day that I made the decision to say, okay, Lord, it's all on you. I'm tired of trying to act like I got this figured out. I'm tired of living this life where I'm the lead act. I'm getting burnt out. Let me just listen to what you got to say. If you God and you the God of all, let me just be obedient to you for a minute and quit putting myself up there like I'm the center of the universe. And it just makes me remember that day and remember that decision that I made. And it goes back to me believing and saying back way back then is that God used me. See, the thing that happens to some people that may not feel fulfilled is because they don't have the mindset of saying, God, use me. God, use me. I want to be a servant to you. I want to serve others. A lot of times it's because I want what I want for me and my life and what I, you know, desire. And it's me, 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 me. No, it's serving God, and God will give you what you really want. You know, it's funny because many things that you and I have in our heart that we want is nowhere near what God has for you. It hasn't even entered into your mind what God has for you. You thinking way too little. You thinking way too little. You think you, like I said, you think you wanted Tyrone. God got a Brandon for you. Nothing against Tyrone's. I just the easiest name I could think of. God got a Brandon for you. You playing with you saying, oh God, I'll settle with Tyrone. If you just make this work, I promise I'm gonna be a better woman. It's like God is like, girl, first of all, you need to be a better woman regardless. And second of all, you putting your standards too low. You deserve a man way better than what your expectation is. Isn't it beautiful that God can give you what you need instead of what you thought you wanted? Because what you thought you wanted was would lead you into destruction. I thought I wanted to play in the NFL. Let me tell y'all something. I got to tell y'all something. I hope I don't run out of time. I thought I wanted to play in the NFL. What does the NFL get you, Brandon? Where I could have influence. And I could be able to have enough money to help my family when they need it. Take care of my mama. Take care of my grandma. Do all these things that I really want to do in my life, but I have to make it to the league to do that. It's what I was thinking. Man, I would love to have, you know, I'm going to bless the church. I'm going to be able to, you know, people all over the world, I'm going to be able to preach the gospel. I thought it was football. I never imagined in a million years I'll be sitting here on the radio talking to y'all on a radio show. Never in a million years. But you know what? I honestly believe in my whole heart, I have more impact in what I'm doing sitting here right now than what I would have had if I played in the NFL. God already knew that, Brandon, you go to the league, but you are still talking about you believe in liberal leftist stuff. You still talking about you a Democrat. Let me get you mature before I expose you to the world. And I'm not acting like I didn't made it. I think God has a lot to work on with me too, to escalate kind of, you know, the accomplishments that I have now or the things he's been able to provide me to do. But I in no way, form, or fashion would I have imagined in 2000 and when I graduate, 2009, that I would be here today. You couldn't pay me. I couldn't dream. It wouldn't have been something I dream of, none of the above. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Ops Tatum Show. I'm going to tell y'all something real cool. I'm telling y'all the way God moves and God works. I almost wish I could y'all could see this headquarters that I got. It's unbelievable. And I remember, if you listen to me every night, I had told you guys that I was praying and I was having faith that I was going to get into the headquarters. It was 22,000 square feet. And I said all this stuff. Remember, I said, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to take a chance. God is moving. And it's funny because I had it in my mind. I prayed about it. I just knew I was going to. I used to drive from my old place and drive around that thing three times every night just to, you know, secure my blessing, you know. And then one day, one of my my broker was like, hey, Brandon, you need to come to this one place. It's two buildings, two separate buildings. One is 12,000, another one is 10,000 square feet. You need to come to these buildings, man. I just feel it. You're going to be in this building. And we got here, and both buildings would have been great. One had a cigar lounge and a bar. Like, we were going to make it a complete event space. That was going to be super cool. We're going to rent it out every time. Financially, it didn't really work out for us. And then the one building, we thought it was easy financially, but it was a difficult process. They pretty much told us, no, we're not going to get this building to you. We're not going to give it to you. We want you to be making way more money than you're making. And, you know, and of course, I'm in my feelings because I'm like, bro, I'm looking at my P&L and it looks, we can clearly afford to be here. And it was a whole thing. I had to get my mentor involved and all this. And I had a shipment because I was leaning on faith that hard. I had a shipment of print machines, a whole print warehouse being sent to this building. And they told me no. You know how crazy that was? I said, oh my God, I need to stop being so crazy with my faith, boy. But I said, nah, God, I'm going to hang on in there. I feel like that you're moving me in this direction, and I'm just going to see what the next step is. Now, I'm not going to lie. I've been doing bad about not stressing out because I've been stressed. I rarely sleep at night while we're figuring this thing out. However, long story short, my mentor ended up helping me come to a negotiation deal with them. We did the negotiation, and now we're here. We're in a better place than the 22,000 square foot, and this is half of the space. This is the coldest headquarters that I have ever seen for this size. Literally, we got glass overlooking the warehouse. We got this Sonos system where all of our speakers are connected. So anyone, any employee can get on their phone, pick their room, and pick the audio to play in their own separate rooms. We got LED lights everywhere. I mean, it's just such an incredible place. It's such a godsend. All of the wires are hooked up in our print area. All of the things we need is already there. As if God already knew. And I'm going to tell you this. I only got like 20 seconds left. They made this building for somebody else. And this guy just so happened to back out of it. And the building is wide open, ready for what God is doing for our company. Incredible blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, I love y'all. I appreciate you. I hope you have a blessed night in Jesus' name. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm out. What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.